Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Last time I spoke here, I looked at the I Ams, particularly in John's Gospel. Didn't get very far, as you would expect. But we spoke about the one who said he was the life, the life-giving one, and we discussed that. We thought about that, and we saw that it wasn't just the life that we have as people. It was that spiritual life that we can have. Because he said, I am the life. I think we saw that there was something like 40 references to the Lord Jesus saying, I am, in the Gospel according to John. And I'd like to look at another one this afternoon. And if we turn please to John chapter 8, we'll read a few verses there. And I'm sure you'll pick out the I am as we read. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 21 says, Then said Jesus again to them, that was those who came to him, in unbelief, but they came to him. And he said unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that hath sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him or from him. They understood not that he spoke to him of the Father God. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these things, many believed on him. What a wondrous ending to that little passage. Many believed on him because of the words that he said. Now, there are a few references I am there, but I'm particularly interested this afternoon in verse 24. I am from above. You're of the world, I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe, this is the one I'm interested in this afternoon. For if ye believe that I am not he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, if you look closely at your Bible, you'll see that the word he is in italics, which just means that it wasn't in the original, but it's been inserted there by translators to seek to aid understanding. Well, what he said was, If you do not believe that I am, well, you would say that really doesn't make good English because I'm waiting for something to follow. But he said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, our brother Andrew touched on this morning, the I am. What does it mean when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am? Well, we go back to the burning bush, don't we? And we see that it was spoken by God himself from the burning bush. And he says, I am. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he, before Abraham was, Abraham, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came, before Abraham was, I am. So we might seek to tease out that a little and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to these people. He was saying that he was ever the existent one. He had no beginning and no end. Now we find that difficult. perhaps easier to believe no end, because we don't know the future, but we would suggest that everything has a beginning and everything had a beginning except God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, is God the Son. God the Father and God the Spirit, the triune God, was eternal, had no beginning, will have no end. Time seems different completely to God than it does to ourselves. We speak about yesterday, today, and next week, and all the rest of it, putting these things in their old boxes. But God, eternity, without... A year is a day is but a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. And we find that difficult to understand, that there was one who had no beginning. But if we think about it, we must accept that there must have been something without a beginning. Those who deny the existence of God have a difficulty with that. They say nothing is not what we would understand nothing to be. Nothing is something. It sounds silly to me, and it's remarkable, isn't it, that some people would rather believe the ridiculous rather than the miraculous. Now, we believe the eternal existence of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We knew, and we thought about it last week, didn't we, in the incarnation, the coming of Christ into the scene of time, Bethlehem, the manger, shepherds. No room for him in the inn, no room for them in the inn, rather, it says. It means that he is all-powerful. We can't understand it either, has he? But, Andrew spoke a little about this morning too. The wonder of the galaxies, the light years is just beyond our comprehension. The infinite, it would seem, number of stars and galaxies spoken by Christ and came into being. We wonder at the little earth that we've got and the moon and the few stars, relatively few, that we can see. And it was promised to Abraham that his seed would be as a sand and as a stars, and told there of the seemingly infinite number of sand grains and stars. The wonder of it is that he's all-knowing. Part of the title I Am, he's all-knowing. So if we think of every grain of sand on every beach in every desert, he knows the shape, the size, the movement, the colour of every grain of sand. He knows because he knows. Every star we can't be named. They've got numbers, the ones that they know about. God knows the size and the shape and the movement, the orbits of gravitational pull of every planet and every star in every galaxy. The great I Am was standing before them. And the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own believed him not. Despite the mighty miracles he performed, despite the kind words that he dispensed, touching the blind man, the leper man, the deaf, raising to life Jairus' daughter, the son, as he came out of the village, Lazarus, as he had been in the tomb, a touch, a word, and life was restored. The multitudes that were fed by the Lord Jesus Christ, bread and fish, miraculously multiplied under his hand as he dispersed it to those around him. Interesting, isn't it? When it comes to Calvary, the thousands upon thousands of people, and indeed what we read of in the scripture is only representative of the miracles that he performed. The word tells us he went into all the towns and all the villages and healed all the sick. Thousands upon thousands came under the loving touch of Christ. And when it came to Calvary, they all forsook him and fled. No one to stand by him alone. he suffered and bled and died. But interestingly, he says, because I am, it says in verse 21, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So understanding what this I am is important, is imperative, because if we don't understand and accept and receive him, then we will die in our sins. And we'll think of the consequences of that in a moment. So he was the promised one, the Messiah. In the Old Testament, we could read of the coming Messiah who would come into this world. And we have touched on that this afternoon and this week as we have remembered the birth of the Saviour coming down from glory into the seed of time. And that baffles us, doesn't it? The eternal glory that he had coming into a manger. Joseph, Mary, a carpenter's bench, Nazareth. Humble beginnings, so that he might just be able to sympathize with you and me, ordinary people. So here was the Messiah one that was going to come. There had been the law, there had been various ways, if you like, of testing man, if I may put it that way. And the great one is the law. We know the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. We can go down them and we can judge ourselves whether we have indeed met all of these. And the answer to that is, of course, we have not. We don't need to go far down the list to understand that we've all come short of that. We've all sinned. And I was going to say, I'm not sure if that's good news or bad news. The bad news is that we have all sinned and we're all miserable sinners. The good news is that if you understand that and accept that, you will see there is a need. When I was taking the Bible class, some of the young lads would come up and say, how do you preach the gospel? Well, I said there's two things you must tell the people when you preach the gospel. One of them is their need for salvation. And another way is the other thing is the way of salvation. If I just told you the way of salvation and tell you needed salvation, it would just pass over you. If I told you you had a need of salvation, you understood that and accepted that, and I didn't tell you the way of salvation, in the words of the scripture, you would be of all men most miserable, or all women most miserable, for you would understand you had a need which could not be satisfied, for the way of salvation had not been imparted. So here the Lord is saying, listen, if you want to die in your sins, just neglect what I'm saying. Forget about what I'm saying to you. Don't listen to that preacher in Hospital Hill on this Sunday evening. Just don't listen to what he's saying, trying to say from the scriptures. But if you understand then before an all-seeing, almighty, all-powerful, all-pure God, all-holy, you stand before him, if you can possibly stand before him and see yourself in the light of the scriptures and understand that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the only one who was pure in its absolute sense. There was a time when there was a man came to the Lord Jesus, he was a lawyer, and he said, good master. And the Lord Jesus picked him up on that. He says, why do you call me good? You see, the man was using it in its comparative sense. He was recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the things he'd heard about him, the things he'd seen of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a good man. The Lord Jesus Christ said, there's none good but God. He was using it in its absolute sense. And we might be comparatively good compared with neighbours or compared with those people languishing in our jails and prisons. But I can tell you this, in the sight of God, you're not good. And I wasn't good. None here were good. But we understood that and knew there was a need, that there was nothing we could do in ourselves to merit God's favour. Nothing that we could do that would bring him into God's family. Nothing that we could do to please him. Except the Lord Jesus Christ said, and you read it, I do always the things that please the Father. What an expression that was. In fact, God himself had spoken from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He has said that to no other, could say it to no other, for we have all sinned and come short of God's glory. So, how do we then make sure that we don't die in your sins? What does that mean? Well, you've got sins, and I've got sins. We've all sinned. The difference between me and you might be that there was a time in my life when I took Christ as my Saviour, and my sins are covered. Everything I've done which is wrong, bad, makes me ashamed. Gone, and on the authority of the Word of God, I stand before God. Sins forgiven, clean, pure. If you have not received Christ, if there's never been a time when you've put your heart's confidence, your faith, your heart's trust in Christ, you stand before God as a miserable sinner. And it says, the good things that you do, and I'm sure you do good things, in the sight of God there is filthy rags, because there's always a motive, isn't there, behind what we do and the good things. Charitable deeds. I hope they see me giving pennies to the donkeys in Peru or whatever. There's always a motive. And here we say we will die if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, the Saviour, the Redeemer, the one who can ransom, the one who has come from the side of God to pay the price for your sins. If you don't believe with all your heart, with all your mind, and put your faith and trust in Christ, you'll die in your sins. What a thought that is. We tremble to think about the consequences of someone who might die in their sins. And I always think it's so unnecessary. Hearing the gospel preached, and then simple faith, you don't need to move from your chair. Bow your head before an all-knowing God, repent of all that's wrong with your life, recognizing it must be obnoxious to a holy, pure, and righteous God. And accept Christ. And his death at Calvary was the means whereby you come into favor by God. He has prepared the way for you. He has shed blood at Calvary under the most extreme circumstances. The death is horrible. We shed precious blood. The sinless one from the side of God came into the scene of time. Went to Calvary. Suspended between heaven and earth. And listen, and it was thought a little this morning too that there was sweet, eternal fellowship between God the Father and God the Son, except for 3 hours in the history of the whole of mankind and the whole of eternity, 3 hours where the union and communion and the fellowship between the Son of God and God in heaven was severed and broken. And I believe that it's under those circumstances that the Word of God tells us that his faith was marred more than the sons of men. Love. You might say there's little love in my life. I can tell you this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. Shouldn't die in their sins, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life's not just something like an insurance policy in your back pocket. And eternal life, everlasting life, is given to you the moment you place your faith and trust in Christ. You become a son of God, a daughter of God. You come into his family. You know Christ as your Saviour. You know him as your Redeemer. You know God as your Father. all the blessings which we have through faith in Christ, and your best is yet to be. The awfulness of dying your sins is an eternity in hell, separated from all that's good and all that's proper. And all the time, a simple act of faith on your part takes you into the eternal joys of the presence of Christ, of all the good things that we read of and are in store for those who love God. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. We cannot begin to imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What's stopping? Well, I can sympathize a little, because I don't want to rehearse my salvation again, but I put it off and put it off for months. My miserable little self shaking my puny fist in the face of God, for I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Christ had come to die. I knew these things because I sat listening to them Sunday by Sunday, trying to blot these things out and think of other things. And the Holy Spirit was gracious. And it's our nature that will stop you coming to a full knowledge of him. I urge you, this is more important than anything else in your life. Health, finance, family, career, everything else pales into insignificance. The fact that this decision is before you this evening, and we trust and ask that the Holy Spirit will be gracious and you will come to a full knowledge of Christ and place your faith and trust in him. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.